All right, ready, go.
Yeah, fine. Chazal explained to us that Moshe Rabbeinu came in for 3 weeks and gave the warning to Paroi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Shalach Ami Ve'avduni Ba'midbar, please send my people out and they should serve me. It was a very quiet voice. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke up very quietly and mentioned the Nevuah which was told him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then Aaron filled in all the details. But Chazal say that all of Mitzrayim heard the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't like just a private conversation. Everybody heard Moshe say the words, Shalach Ami Ve'avduni. And Paro took no notice. And then 3 weeks later on a Thursday morning, it was instead of the Black Friday, it was Red Thursday. A Thursday morning, everyone woke up and it was red all over. Everything was covered with red, with blood dripping from everywhere. Every drop of water where there was and the foul smell as well. The prophet was by Yibashayor. The Nile, which was the main source of water and also the god of Mitzrayim because they worshipped it, that was the stench was terrible and all the fish died and there was no water drink. People who were in the middle of a shower, everything turned red, everybody in a bath, everything was in a terrible, terrible, it was a national catastrophe, it was a disaster which went on there. Even so, Chazal explained that they had to run over to Goshen in order to get a drop of water. And what happened was, supposing a Mitzri asked a Jew in the middle of Mitzrayim for a drink, and he was drinking water. As he poured the water in his mouth, miraculously it turned into blood. An incredible sight it must have been. This went on for a week, and the Magepa was a tremendous catastrophe. They had nothing to drink, and it was dry, and there was a plague, and people died from it as well. And then we learn this remarkable pasuk, which I always, whenever I hear this pasuk, it always wakes me up enormously. Listen to the pasuk. And the pasuk says, they came into Paroi, Vayiven Paroi, and Paro turned away. Vayove El Besa, he went back home. Veloshos Liboy Gamlozais, and he paid no attention to this at all. The word Vayiven is a beautiful word. I come from England, and there's something called in England English snobbery. Like, you lift your nose up, you turn your nose up. Famous line I remember hearing is sort of Queen Victoria once turned around and said, we are not amused. I turn away without any sort of connection. I'm not interested in this. Indifferent, totally apathetic, more than apathetic, with a scorn behind it completely. I'm not interested in this. Below Shos Libra. Vayifen is a very powerful word. I can turn away. Nothing to do with me, this. I don't care about this, what happened. Below Shos Libra. And he paid no attention to it at all. Gam Lozoi. Unfortunately explained to the fact that this was the staff because of which Moshe Rabbeinu's staff had swallowed up all their staffs as well. And he paid no attention to it. The Netziv said the word the Gamla Zayis means, Paro said, it's a passing phase. These things happen. Unfortunately, nothing will come out of it. Eventually, we'll go back to general life. We'll live back to normal again. And in reality, Chazal explained that Paro never suffered from the Makkah of Dam. He had no problems with it. He had regular water. There were several reasons why. Chazal explained because Moshe Rabbeinu had grown up in the house of Paro, and as a tribute to him, he was left alone for this matter. Chazal also say maybe because he was hoping that he was in tshuva, that he was untouched by this matter. And that maybe he could turn around and say, the Orachayim turned around and said, it was the answer like, I'm okay. Listen, I'm all right, Jack. This doesn't affect me. And that's why he was able to turn away. And he was unaffected by it. Chazal also mentioned that maybe it was because in order to encourage him to do tshuva, perhaps he'll change, perhaps he'll turn around. He remained completely oblivious to it. Nothing to do with me, I'm fine. He went back home and he carried on as normal. The Yucha mentions a beautiful point and says, don't think that Paro was a fool. Don't think that he just was an idiot and took no notice of it. After all, he spotted a winner in Yosef. When he saw Yosef and heard what Yosef said, he said, Ein chochem benoven kamoicha. He was a very wise person, very astute and very prudent, and he recognized who Yosef was. So he had inside him that ability to notice a winner. He saw who Yosef was. And therefore, when he turned around and said he took no notice of it, it was a purpose, it was an arrogance, tremendous arrogance that he had. He didn't take any notice of it at all. The Sipona explains, we have a problem though, because the Pasuk says, Vayas ken achaltum emitzayim. Really, perhaps there was support to this, what Paro had said, because the Chartumim also did it as well. We have to understand very clearly, what does it mean that the Chartumim could do it? by witchcraft, by kishu. What they did is they did what's called in Chazal as achizas einayim. It appeared to be as if it was blood, but it wasn't blood. In Moshe, when Moshe did it, it really was blood, and the fish did die. But by the Chaltunim, what happened was they actually had to go and buy the water from Mitzrayim in order to do it. They had no water, and then they turned it into blood, but they couldn't turn the blood back into water afterwards. They could turn the water into blood, but they couldn't turn it the other way. But it was called a transparency. It was achizas einayim. It appeared to be like blood, but it wasn't really blood. And that's the difference between what Moshe did. Moshe did it in reality. But what they did was, there was nothing, it appeared to be like that. The question maybe what we can ask is, why didn't they impeach Kavoy? Why didn't they throw him out? Why didn't they claim the 25th Amendment and say, listen, it's ridiculous, you can't behave like this. Why was this? And it's much worse than invading the capital now. I'm thinking, why didn't they turn around and say, enough of this thing? He turns around and says, it has nothing to do with me. I'm going off to Florida to play golf. What is this? How can you do such a thing? He got away with it, Power. Power was a very dominant, powerful leader, and no one impeached him. I don't know, but he managed to avoid any incrimination about him, so we understand the Chaltunim did it, and therefore his scathing comment of saying that, you know, it's nothing, seemed to last, and people accepted what he said. What we have to, though, understand is that in Torah terminology, the way power behaves is not a petty crime. It's not a minor infringement. What he did, we would call it, is a federal offense. It's a major offense what he did, what power did. To disregard something which is clearly in front of your punishment, to call something which is a national catastrophe, like it's a nothing and it doesn't interest me. You can't do that sort of thing. It's a in the Torah terminology, it's a major offense which is done. Where do we know that from? The Alter von Kelm says it's all under this prophet. And then the Parshas Nitzavim, when the Torah brings down, what happens when a person hears the awful curses of the Parshas Nitzavim? Terrible, terrible clawers which are brought out, never, on Klal Yisrael. V'hayam meshuga be'inayim, if you see something, what goes on, and the awful curses. And then a person turns around, v'hayam b'shamas tibay halakos. If a person, says the Torah, listens to the words of the Tokocha, the Hisporei Filvoda, and he turns around and he says in a facet way, I'm fine, I'm all right, Jeff. Shkolam Yehi Eli, everything by me is just fine. Ki Bishirus Levi Eli, I'm fine, I'm carrying on, I'm going off to play golf. I'm all right. He went back to his home below Shotziba. That's a major offense. There's a Lo Yoza Hashem Seloyach Lo. There's no such thing as a forgiveness for this. This sort of reaction is a catastrophic reaction to make such a thing. The kin of Yeshan af Hashem. Hashem is furious with such a person. The kin of Sobo Ishahu. And his anger is furious. The Rabsa Bokol Arazai. Umocha Hashem Eshemoi Mitachas Shashashamayim. His name is erased completely. He has no credence whatsoever. He's wiped off the board completely. The name of a person is a very holy thing, a person's name. He's written off. If a person says, Shalom Yehi Eli, that's a federal offense. It's a major offense to do that. So what we learn really from the Parsha is a very important message. How we react to something. And I'd like Daniel Zaitin to try and bring out that point. What does it mean to react to something? We learn from Paro the crime when a person says, it's nothing, I take Shalom Yehi Eli, everything's okay by me. We have to try and work out ourselves and try and picture for ourselves what does it mean to make a good reaction. I'd like to bring some examples from it and build up at that point. The power is the antithesis of that. I'd like to bring you two cases of the flip side, the other side, where you see in the Torah that people made a wonderful, wonderful reaction. And that reaction is a tremendous tribute to them. Two people. They were both became Jailers. The first one is from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes explains that Kabbalah HaTorah really has two introductions before you come to Har Sinai and Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There are really two introductions to it. One we might call as macro, and one perhaps we could call micro. Let's take the macro first. Klal Yisrael, when they arrived at Har Sinai, were told to prepare the mountain, to make Hagbola, to border off the mountain, to prepare yourselves 3 days beforehand. Everything must be clean and ready, and ready to be Kabbalah the Shechina at Sinai. That was on a macro scale. That was a national preparation which the people had to do in order to receive the Torah. But the micro one came before that. And the micro introduction to Hakkanat HaTorah is one individual, and that is Yisroel. Yisroel heard about Kriyas Yam Suf. Some people say he heard about Milchemes Amalek. And immediately he turned around and said, "That's enough. I can't stay with this anymore." He was so shattered by the news that the whole cavalry, 600 of the finest horsemen in Egypt, had drowned in the water, and he made for himself this enormous wall, which we see all the time, Mida Keneged Mida. As we acted, so we got back. After all, he was in this final solution plan originally of Chovan Yitzchak with Bilam and Eos together, and he heard about it. And they planned to throw all the boys into the water, and look what happened to them. And that deduction, that reaction from his, he said, "That's it, I'm packing my bags, I'm going off into the Midbar." That was an incredible reaction which he had, the most positive thing to do. He reacted positively, and he reacted spontaneously. So that is an incredible reaction. And that is the Hagdama to Kabbalah Satsang on the micro scale. Meaning like this. When Klal Yisrael heard that they were to receive the Torah, let's take Yisrael as an individual. He heard about what was happening to Klal Yisrael. He did something about it. He didn't just turn over the station and say, "Very interesting," and turn over to something. No. He did something practically about it. He reacted to it. I must mention to you the beautiful comment made, I heard from Moi Varabi, Agon Nashrem of Rev, as they He made a beautiful comment on this. It's a beautiful comment. You might have heard it before from me, but whenever I mention things of Kabbalah HaSatorah, I think of this. He explained that Klal Yisrael began in Shemais, Pasha Shemais. Yaakov Rinu comes down to Mitzrayim, and we learn about the beginning of the Golos and Avodah Saperet, and that was the beginning of the Golos, and also the beginning of Geula. And the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu, the snare, he was designated to become the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael. That's Pasha Shemai. Pasha Vo'eiro is this week's Pasha, which deals with all the macros of Klal Yisrael. Different problems which they had with the Makkos and the reaction of Klal's power, as we're learning by the Dam today, sees as a nation, those who have our Pesach, the Lord of Pesach. And we come on to eventually the great parasha of Parshas Vashalach, which is the parasha of Kriyas Yam Suf and the Mon. And then, Rabbi Eber said, we come to the most important parasha in all of the Torah activation, in Matan Torah. That's what it's all for. In other words, from Bereshit until the one parasha of Parshas with Yisroel. And what is it called? Parshas John. Parshas Peter. Parshas Benedict. He was a pope. He was a person who was completely on the other side, right outfield. And a person like that comes and receives the Torah. What does it come to tell us? Why would you call the parasha of Parshas Yisroel? It's coming to tell you that the most important thing is your reaction, whoever you are, and wherever you come from. How do you react? That's what Klal Yisrael says. Na'aseh v'nishma. Yisroel did a na'aseh v'nishma. Yisroel changed. Yisroel reacted very positively. And that was the greatness of Yisroel. And that's the introduction on a micro scale of Kabbalah HaTorah. To be able to do something yourself. And wherever you come, it doesn't matter. You can be the Pope. You can be the Benedict. You can be whoever you are. John. If you want to come in the Kabbalah of the Torah accepts you and brings him in. And he came to join Klal Yisrael because of that. And that's the first reaction which I wanted to show to you. The reaction of Yisrael. The second one, which is a beautiful example, is brought down in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, that you have. If you want to look it up, it's a beautiful story about Unklus. And now we have Targum Unklus. Unklus was actually the son of the Caesar Conimus. And the great disgrace and embarrassment of Rome was that Unklus had run off and gone to Israel and became a ger. And that was terribly embarrassing to Caesar and all the court. And it was a tragedy in their terms. How can you have that? So Cronimus sent a battalion of soldiers, 300 soldiers, to bring Unklus back home. And they arrived, and Unklus, immediately, out of his tremendous influence and persuasion, managed to convert all of them. All 300 became Jewish. And Cronimus heard about that. He was furious. He tried again. He sent a second battalion, 300 soldiers, and he told them, "Don't talk to Unklus at all. Have nothing to do with him. Just..." So they arrived, and as they were taking him out, Unklos turned around and said to them, do you mind if I share something with you? A very interesting point. He said, when you have an army sitting in a base in a camp, who does the private hold the candle for? Who does he serve? Who is he looking after? The sergeant. He looks after the sergeant. And who does the sergeant hold the candle for? The lieutenant. Who does the lieutenant hold the candle for? He said, for the colonel. And who does the colonel hold the candle for? Who is he subservient to? Subservient to the chief of staff. He asked them, and who does the chief of staff hold the candle for? Nobody. He said, that's interesting, because in this religion, you find something quite differently, that the Almighty came and held the candle for the Jewish people. When he left Mitzrayim, there was an Amud Eish behind the camp of the Jewish people, between them and the Egyptians, from the chief of staff. He looked after them all. And believe it or not, those 300 also converted, that 600 now. And Cronimus heard about it and tried again. This time he sent a third attack and said, don't have anything to do. Just drag the man back home. Bring him home. So he sent them. And as they were pulling him out of the house, Uncas reached over and touched the mezuzah and kissed the mezuzah. They said to him, what do you do that for? He said to him, I'll explain to you why. You know, usually when the king sits in his palace, the servants stand outside and look after the king and guard the king. It's interesting, in this religion, which I'm now part of, the king sits outside and guards them. And that's what the mezuzah means. The mezuzah protects the people inside. The king guards the people inside. They were astonished and they converted. That's 900 people. 900 yeshiva bosses. You can make a new base of medrash in the new yeshiva, Yerushalayim. 900 bosses become converted. And Cronus, the Gemara says, he never sent anybody else anymore. He was finished. He couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't send any more. This was the end of it. What happened here with Cronus? And there's really a connection which we must understand between Yisroi and Cronus. And Unklos, sorry. Unklos and Yisroi had one common factor between them. And that's the most important point. Their reaction was based, not necessarily, they didn't see anything at all. For sure, Yisroi only heard. We are told that Yisroi heard about the Tzias Yamsuf, and he heard about the Chemes Olam. He heard about it. But thus the information itself, picking up the facts and thinking about it, and Nitbonen, and pondering on it, and thinking about it, that made him change. He reacted just from hearing about it, and thinking about it, and concentrating on it. The same thing with Unklos. Unklos certainly never saw anything at all. So he read the text, and when he who became so profound, Yisroi, and Unklos, Chazal Unklos that we have, and Yisroi, who his descendants actually, Chazal say, sat in the Sanhedrin. They became part of the members of the Sanhedrin, Yisroi. They deduced it from, they reacted from what they had heard, from what they had learned. And that's remarkable. And that's really where we stand as well. We didn't see anything, but we have the text in front of us. And therefore, the reaction of Yisroi and Unklos, really for us, is a very realistic situation. When you read the text, you read the Medrash, to react to it. And that's what Yisroi did and Unklos did. And that's a remarkable feat. But we must take it a little bit deeper than that. There is a Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. And the Ramban comments, really, which really we can use to apply if we would make a profile of Yisroi and Unklos in the following way. The Ramban says as follows. Umin hanisin hagedolim hamafusomim, from the great wondrous miracles, like Kriyas Yam Suf, like the Ten like Matt and Sarah. On the other hand, you could see, you could breathe. Adam Nanisim Hamasu from the Hagadolim, Adam Makir, the Nisim Hanis, you recognize the small things, the big miracles, are only to show you that on a daily basis, Hashem also monitors and controls the world. A beautiful point. And says the Ramban, this is a tremendous principle in the Torah. No Jew has any share at all in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, ad shenami, until we believe, everything that happens to us is a nace. There's no such thing as teva. Everything is a nace, meaning the small all things that happened. This bacha met this girl, this business opportunity came up, this car came up which you could buy, this, all the small things which happened are all a derivative from the Nisim HaGdolim. And that's the path, I think, which Yisrael and Utras took. They recognize, Im Yasenu Atam Mitzvah, says the Rambam, Yiten Maskar, the Imlo, Yikabal Oynish, Hakol B'Gzeh. That difference of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the 10 plays, of Kriyas, of Matan Torah, that brought them to an everyday style of life and conduct which monitored their lives on a regular daily basis. That's what it was for. It brought them to a much closer understanding of what life is all about. From the Nisim HaMosorsomim, or the Moedah Benisim HaNisomim, just the quiet things. That's what they did. They made a perception, and they understood there was his bonus. They contemplated it. And from that, they moved on. That, from that reaction, they made the positive reaction to understand what Judaism is all about. And that's what we have to do. We only have the text. No different from Israel and Unkle. We have the text. What we're supposed to do is react to it all. Isn't that really, I was thinking also, what Eliyahu HaNavi was doing at Har HaKarmel? He was doing the same thing, Eliyahu HaNavi. What happened? The Nevi'im HaBaal was standing there, and the fire came down from Shemayim and consumed the two cows and the altar as well, and mixed everything up. And then Eliyahu turned around to them and said to them, now listen, Im Lashem, Lashem, Im Labal, Labal. Make up your mind. Where are you going? Ad Moshe Atem Kristen Al Shtei Atim. Why are you hovering over one side to another? React. React positively. All the people turned around and said, Hashem, who I love him. They reacted. And that's what he brought them to. He brought them to this sort of reaction, which he wanted to bring out for them. And it worked. And that's really what we're talking about here. The ability to react. Not like Paro, Lo Shos Yibar, turn like an English snob and lift your nose up and say, I'm going home, I'm going off, and taking no notice. But Yisrael and Utras were able to do that. And therefore, change their whole lifestyle before behind it. Adkan, really, up till now, is really the theory. What we have to try and do, I think, Lania is saying, is to try and apply this. Hashem ki tohis ki la'olam chasro. No, isn't that really the reaction? I managed to wake up this morning and he said, Elokai neshama shema satavi. I recognize that I had a neshama and Moed Daniel from Nefer shechzal to be neshmoti. I woke up this morning. And so you carry on every morning. The reaction to pokeach ivim, I open my eyes. I can stand up straight. I have everything. Hashem has looked after me. Isn't that really the reaction which is called upon every day? A person must be drawn to bring out this reaction, I think, from the prayers that we say. It's not enough just for chanting. If we can react, if you have a cup of coffee, and you say, I can only have this bowl, I thought, Hashem, I'm able to eat something. I can digest my food. All these things are really dependent on this concept of a reaction. How do you react to something that happens to you? On a small scale basis, on a Nisim HaNisolim, that's what Unkle and Yisrael did. They took it all the way. They derived their point and took the logic all the way through. And that, I suppose, is what we must do also with nature. You know, isn't nature on that basis as well? It's interesting that there is a halacha that people who get up early in the morning, they daven at night. Davening at night is actually called Yira'uka Im HaShemesh, to fear Hashem with the sun. Now, most people who daven at night, the way I understand it, is they look at the clock and they're watching the seconds every minute. But in reality, it's wrong. They never used to have a clock in the olden time. They waited for the sun to come. And the minute the sun came up, Yehuchem HaShemesh, and they daven Shemayin Ezer. It's the sun which alerted them. The hisoilus, the enormous, beautiful reaction of seeing nature coming alive again. And that's the point behind it. I must be honest. With you. We have, unfortunately, the situation outside in the car park, and it faces the hills of Yerushalayim. I personally, I know it's better to daven in a shul, I shouldn't say this. You see the hills of Yerushalayim, it should awaken you. It should give you that life, that inspiration, that vivacity for life. And that's the reaction which is needed for us. I just received yesterday a beautiful email from a dear friend, Hilary Chester in London, and she wrote to me that, you know, the weather in England is usually, you know, like they say, drizzle, or they say drizzle, whatever, moderate visibility, it's as miserable as can be. And then she turned around, she wrote in the email, she said to me that the Japanese have a statement called forest bathing. And if you see nature, beautiful phrase, you bathe yourself in nature. I would say forest cleansing. And nature should clean you, should help you out, should arouse you to that sort of reaction. And once you have that sort of reaction, then you're ready to daven in the morning. You're ready to think about what your life is all about and what the style of life you're going to have. That's the nature which is all about and thinking about. But I must be honest that all that I'm saying is really very dangerous territory. For one simple reason, and that is that when it comes to asking someone to make a reaction, we're not talking about shooting arrows at somebody that they didn't react in a certain way. I think the whole basis of this share is really only me, myself, and I. It's only on a personal basis. It doesn't mean that because someone doesn't react to you in a certain way, that therefore they're wrong. I don't think it should be an arrow. One has to try, when looking for reactions, to try and be careful to don a capsule, because you have no idea whether someone is reacting to something or not. You don't know. Isn't that the famous line I remember in Macbeth we used to learn? I remember, there's naught to tell the mind's construction of the face. You can't tell by a person's face what they're really thinking. You can't see that. You don't know what they're sort of thinking. I remember I used to give a shiur in a certain area every Shabbos afternoon, and a person used to come up to me after the shiur, and he was so excited. He said, a wonderful shiur. He hardly ever came to the shiur. Maybe once every 2 months or something. But he was so excited. I said, oh, we missed you in the shiur. He said, yeah, I overslept. I had guests. I couldn't come. He never ever came to the shiur. So he was very excited, but he never came to the shiur. But he was always very excited. And there was another person who I was convinced was always sleeping in the shiur. He sat at the back of the shiur, and Mamash was quiet. I was almost convinced he was sleeping. And 1 week I never gave a shiur, and I met him in the street. And I went over to him, and I said, I'm sorry I couldn't give a shiur. He said, oh, you missed it so much. And he turned around and said to me, yeah, your shiur is the whole life of my week. I live my week from your shiur. I thought to myself, goodness me, I thought the man was sleeping the whole time. I had no idea. He was listening so well. You don't know with people. You don't know. Some people are very phlegmatic, and they don't show reaction on the face. You can't use this point of a reaction as an arrow against somebody. It's only for oneself. Because you have no idea also what's going on in a person's life. You don't know what's happening. Maybe never someone is sick in the family. Maybe they don't have panosa. Maybe they had an argument. All things are gone. You have no idea what's going on. You can't turn around and judge a person by the reaction that they give, because you don't know. It's only a personal vaccine, a private vaccine, you're talking about. This is not a weapon to say, why didn't the person react a certain way or another way? Let me give you an example that happened to me, which I learned so much from. I once met in Yerushalayim, in Meir Shoyim, one of the great poskim of Yerushalayim, a tremendous Talmid Chacham. And I had a shaila, and I went up to him in the street, and I asked him the shaila. And it was a bit complicated, and I asked him what he thought of this particular halacha here. So he gave me an answer, and then from what he said, I wanted to carry on the discussion. He turned around to me and said to me, you know, please excuse me, I can't really discuss it more with you now. My father died 5 minutes ago. I have to arrange for his rabbiah. I thought, goodness me, he could even stand in front of me and answer me. His father died 5 minutes. He just came out the way his father died. And he said to me, please be in touch with me at another time. I thought, goodness me, who would ever think such a thing? He asked me in such a beautiful, civil way. You don't know. You don't know with people what's going on. So please don't use the shiur as an arrow or as a sword against somebody else. Because you can't tell. You can't tell when someone reacts a certain way. One doesn't know. I had a friend, I hope he's still my friend, an acquaintance who I was very close to, and I hadn't seen him for about a year. And then I suddenly saw him out of the blue, and I never thought I'd meet him there. I suddenly saw him, and he was insulted that I wasn't excited to see him. I knew he told me later, he said, you didn't give me a beautiful show of life. And I was so taken aback that I saw him. I never expected to see him there. And to this day, I think he's boigus with me. I didn't react. It's unfair. I never expected to see him. You shouldn't use these points against people. It's for me, myself, and I. It's only for oneself. One's own reaction is a private vaccine. Look it for yourself. Of course, this point is all as well. It has to be taken in consideration also with mitzvahs, especially, for example, with mitzvahs. Certainly, when it comes to prayer, so the action is, how do we act to the prayer that we're now about to say? How do we act to this next Birchas HaMazon that you're saying? Tonight, when we say Kiddush, what's the reaction towards saying, Ashek Yisham Mitzvah Zavurot Zavonu, the Shabbos Kodesh Rabbi Avu, what's in that? How do you react to these words? In mitzvahs, it's crucial to have this factor, to be like an Yisrael and a Nuntle. Of course, when it comes to mitzvahs like Bikur Choylin, it doesn't last for long. Maybe 2 or 3 minutes you visit somebody. One has to know how to react to care for somebody when they're going in to visit somebody. Nichoma Veilin, a maladaber, you have to go to a shiva. How do you act to it? I remember I saw this once myself. There was an Adam Godel, who I was very close with in Givak Shoal. His name was Moshe Shimon Weintraub, the funny of all. He found the Bikur Rov. And I went to the shiva. And I was sitting in the shiva house, and it was all quiet. And then in walked the Bifoya Levine, the son of Avaya Levine. And he came in and sat down at the side, and no one said anything. And I looked at him, and he started to cry. He cried clearly. Everybody saw him crying. And then he said, "Hamokim," got up and went away. I thought to myself, what a beautiful reaction. He didn't have to say anything. He said, "Hamokim," but he cried because he obviously was very close to the Nisman. A reaction. One has to sometimes bring out the reaction and know how to respond. Of course, for ourselves, we should always have to prepare ourselves. What was the mitzvah of Aliyah Berego? Aliyah Berego meant that when you came up to Yerushalayim at the 3 Yom Tovim, you came up to Yerushalayim and you had maybe a few seconds to walk through the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't have long. And the Kohanim had opened up all the curtains, and you would face towards the Kodesh Kodashim, and you could actually see the two Kohanim hugging each other. The Gemara brings down in Yuma, you could see the two of them, Ani Lezoidi Vedoidi, and that was it, and we walked on, and that was called Mitzvah Yeroeh, to be seen as the sea. And that was enough motivation, inspiration, until the next Yom Tov when you would come back. There were no cameras, there were no videos, there were no pictures. You had to look at the scene quickly and move on. You had to react quickly. Mr. Shem, in our time, you should have that opportunity to look at the Beis HaMikdash and to move on. But the ability to see something and take in the picture straight away, and that registers in your mind. I remember reading the beautiful story. I think it's the great-grandfather of Aaron Kutler, so they say, this is recorded, that he wanted to go to see the Vilna Gaon, if I remember correctly. And it was a long travel, a few days traveling to get to Vilna. And they say, the story goes that when he arrived in Vilna, it was Maariv time, and he went to the shul, the Kloyes, where the Vilna Gaon used to daven. And the Vilna Gaon was davening Maariv. He saw him from behind, he was davening Maariv. He then left the shul and went back home. And the family asked him afterwards, "So did you see the Gaon?" So he said, "Yes, I saw the Gaon." So they asked him, "What did he say?" He said, "I don't know, I never saw his face." He said, "What do you mean you didn't see his face?" He said, "I didn't need to see his face. To see the Vilna Gaon from behind, it was enough for me. I had seen enough. Just to see the Vilna Gaon davening Shemana Esrei was enough for me." The tremendous reaction, to be able to take an opportunity and run with it. He'd seen it, no cameras, but in his mind he had the picture. That's what Ola Beregel is. That's what Ola Beregel is all about. And therefore, Rabbi Sai, what we have to do is come to the Corona. What should be our reaction to the corona? How should we react to it? Of course, initially, the most important reaction is the enormous care and understanding never for people who suffered a great deal. People who have lost relatives, people who are Nebuchadnezzar, Amonis, and the tragedies are enormous. You know yourself, people who are without a job, without Tamnosa, and people who are sick in hospitals. Of course, the first feeling is Achenu B'nai Yisrael, Hanasunim, Basol, Ubashivya, Ha'im Din Bin. The reaction must be, of course, the caring, the empathy, is the understanding of difficult situations that people live. That's the first reaction. Of course, there is. There must be that. People are in great difficulty. People are suffering a great deal. You'll turn around and you'll say, "Well, goyim are also suffering from it." Yeah, but if you look carefully in the Rashi of this week's parasha, Rashi brings out quite clearly any suffering of the non-Jews is all for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Ani aksha eslei paro, I will harden his heart." And he will suffer the plague, but it's all for you, Klal Yisrael. And Rashi brings out that comment that anything that happens in the world is that Klal Yisrael aftiri b'tikhi musa. It's for us to learn a lesson from it. We'll say the goyim also suffering, but our thoughts must be for the suffering of people in Klal Yisrael, the suffering of the world as well. But that's the first reaction. But I'd like to take it deeper. I'd like to make a suggestion a little bit more than that. Last year, when it came to the time of the Siyum HaShas, there was a tremendous euphoria in Klal Yisrael. People were dancing, the axis, the unity. You saw thousands of people dancing together, and tremendous, tremendous unity of people celebrating the Siyum HaShas. And it was a great event. And people were so lit by it, they said, the next thing is the Kadosh Pnei Mashiach, and it must be after such a time. The thousands of people all around the world, the pictures were remarkable, and people dedicated themselves to come and learn Shas again. And the initiative and the enterprise was tremendous about it, what happened. And then what happened? A few days later, we were forced into a situation, we couldn't go to shul, we couldn't be near anybody. We were forced into social distancing, isolation, and bidud, and wearing a mask. We were all of a sudden pushed to the other side totally. We must react to that. What is the reaction from such an incredible contrast? From tremendous actors, which apparently gave the people a great boost, but then on the other side, you saw what happened a few days ago. What does it mean? What, if you'll excuse me by saying, what is the not so subtle hint that HaKadosh Baruch is giving us? What's the hint that he's telling us here? Perhaps it's this. Go back to the Chaltumim, to the magicians by the Makkah of Dan. When Moshe Rabbeinu did the Makkah of Dan, it was really Dan. In reality, it was blood. And all the fish died, and there was a catastrophe. It wasn't any transparency. It was the real thing. What the Chaltumim did, it appeared to be like blood, but it wasn't really. It was called in Hebrew an anachizas einayim, something which appeared to be like that, but it wasn't really Dan. I wonder if that's what it means here, meaning that it appeared to us that everything looked very well in Klal Yisrael, and unity and harmony, and everybody was ready and in great mood of excitement. But I wonder if it's like my chavrusa, Rabbi Rothenberg, a young boy, Chan Anthony, said to me, "Al tikre COVID elo kovoid." Don't read COVID elo kovoid. I wonder if that's the hint. The kovoid between people. Maybe that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. Don't be transparent. If you have to keep a distance from people and you're forced to be by yourself, I wonder if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us you must react in a way to recognize who a person is. Keep away from people. Don't just, you're not allowed to talk to people. You have to keep your distance. You have to wear a mask. You have to stay and be good. I wonder if that's the lesson. Everything to do with a person is always recovered. If we perhaps were maybe holding by the Chaltumim. Maybe it was all an achizah. We thought it was all so good. And immediately after that, Kodesh Baruch Hu showed us, no, it's not like you think. You're not as close as you are. Apparently the sin is sin as sin. And we're not as careful with the relationships you were, because that's why we were forced into isolation. Like a mitzvah, brother, like a leper. I wonder if that's the reaction we must come out with. Of course, we know that when it comes to any measuring scale of anything spiritual, the measuring scale is always one thing, is kovod. Kovod is kovod atayra, kovod abriyos, kovod shamayim, kovod atma, kibud aborein. Always ruchnias, spiritual things, are always measured by kovod. How do you recognize a kodesh pot? Kovod shamayim. Kamut chochem is kovod atayra. Kovod is a measuring scale of human beings in a spiritual term. Money, comfort, and time is material things. How do you measure a person in a secular society, how much money he has, how much comfort he has. Materialistic things are measured by time and money and comfort. But ruchnis is measured by kavod. I wonder if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to show us behind this so-called vision that you see. We went from the great achus which we thought was there, but I wonder if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to say, it's not kavod, it's kavod. It's kavod which is missing. And that's what we have to try and pick up. We have to learn how to react, I think, Lanias Daiti, with more respect, I think. I'm talking to myself as much as anything else, to show respect to every single Jew, every single person who we meet, to recognize the cover between the person. And that's a crucial element. Not to use this as a weapon. Has to show them, I don't mean it as a criticism against other people. It's not a sword, not an arrow. It's a private vaccine. To take it and to realize that maybe a person doesn't react to me in a certain way. Maybe on the couch, you don't know, maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe they have a sorrow in the family. But for oneself to react, to do a yisroi and an unkas oneself. That's what we learn from Tarot. is the antithesis is Yisrael and Unzah, how they reacted to something, how they did something. I must share with you a wonderful story I remember, which I heard after the death of the Tio of the Nissen Karelet, Hagon of Nissen, Sechazadik Yibocha, the Avbeis Din of the Nebrah. A Talmud once went to the house to ask him a shayla, and he was sitting outside, and he heard shouting and screaming inside the room where the Rav was sitting. A woman was literally letting it out at the Rav. She was screaming and shouting, and he couldn't help but hear it. He was sitting outside, and the woman was screaming, "You must give me a divorce. I insist on a divorce." And the Rav was answering, "I see," and then she said to him, "Immediately, don't ask any questions. Just give me what I want." And he said to her very calmly, he said to her, "But I first will have to speak to the husband first." She wouldn't have it. She was furious with him. She was yelling at him in the room. And then eventually she must have banged on the table, he said. She walked out and slammed the door and went out. And he went into the wall afterwards. And he saw that Rob was sitting there as peaceful, as tranquil, unruffled, completely unaffected by her. No reaction whatsoever. And he turned around and said to her, "But isn't the Rob disturbed the way the woman spoke to her, spoke to you?" And this is what the Rob said. He said like this. He said, "If in Shamayim they hold of me like the woman was talking, then I really must be very, very careful of myself. I must worry. But to be honest, I think she was just letting off steam, and I don't think what she was saying was accurate to me. And therefore, I don't take any notice of it. How do they think of me in Shamayim? If in Shamayim they think of me like this, then I should be concerned. But otherwise, I take no notice of it." Isn't that beautiful? To be unruffled by it. To be able to react in such a way that he was in control of himself completely. I called this year, "Give it all you got," all because of a email which I saw. I don't know if you ever saw the base spinner printed out many emails of Rav Menuhin Zechariah Yevorcha. And there was one particular email which I saw, which struck me so much. A woman, I think it was a woman, I don't know who it was, someone had written to Rav Menuhin a long, long letter about how unjust it is, the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there's no rachamim, and she feels a failure, and everything is no good, and everything in life is awful, and it was very, very sad. And he replied to her in the following way. She said to her, "Let me read out to you what the Melinowitz had said. It's a beautiful comment." And he explained to her, a long he gave her a long letter, a long reply, beautiful comfort, and then he turned around and said to her, "Take that, evidently the lyrics of the song." He wrote out the lyrics for her, and she said, "This is the lyrics of the song which he wrote for this woman. After 125 years, you go up to heaven. You climb all those stairs. They won't ask you where you were, wise as Solomon. They won't ask you where strong as Samson. Oh no. They'll ask us one question, and only one thing matters. They'll say, 'Did you give it all you've got?' Because in this life, you only have what you've got. So give it all that you've got. In this world, we only have what we got. And if you say it's easy, I'll say it's not, but you've got to give it what you've got." And he goes on like this. Give it what you've got. And that was such a beautiful response. Meaning, do your best. You might think you're a failure, but in reality, this is a confused world. You don't know whether you're a failure or a success. The beautiful story told, he mentions it in his email to her, of the Amora who went up to Shamayim, and he was astonished at what he saw. He came back afterwards, and he said, "I saw in Shamayim all the people in this world who are on the bottom, on the top, and all the people on the top, on the bottom." So he said to him, the Amora, his answer, he said, "What you saw was the truth." Meaning people who think they're failures are not necessarily failures. You struggle. I remember Uri Zohar once explained, everything is really the struggle, how you react to something. The reaction is what you must come out with. You give it all you've got, whatever you can, and in a positive way, and not judging people. I think that's the lesson which we take from our dear friend Paolo. Paolo turned around and lifted his nose, he snubbed his nose up. And for that, Shalom Yeheli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes him off. I'm not interested in you. If that's the way you react, and you don't take any notice of it, then you're not like an unkleser, you're not like a yisrael. Those are lessons I think which come out. You've got to give it all you've got, as much as you can, and then after 125, you climb up all the steps, and I'll ask you one question. Did you give it all you've got? How did you react to something? I think that's the lesson. You should all be able to react positively. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ben Adam, Lachaveiro, Ben Adam, Lachno as well. You should have a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Shabbat. Shabbat Shishkov. Thank you.
Shabbat. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi. I love
you. Shabbat.
How did you come?
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Umavorah. Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbat.
Welcome. Good Shabbat.
Good Shabbat, everybody.
Shabbat.
Rabbi, you have such an example of giving it all you've got. We give a share. We feel your stomach coming out. Thank you so much.
We can hear you. I tried to give it all I got. I tried. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Have a good Shabbat. We should hear good news from each other.
Amen.
Good Shabbat. Thank you, Yeshua.
Yes, some parallel.
Good Shabbat.